Hello, hello, hello. This is your girl Kathleen, aka Cassidine, aka Sorin. And welcome to Sorin's Soapbox. Here on Sorin's Soapbox is where we rant about love, life, and the pursuit of music. Let's get into it. I want to welcome you to episode 2 of Sorin's Soapbox. Yes. So I want to thank everyone who is tuning in to Sorin's Soapbox on today. First and foremost, I want to thank everyone who listened to my very first episode that came out 2 weeks ago. I am so appreciative of everyone who took the time to listen to the episode, to rate it, to reach out to me and let me know how they resonated with the episode, how they took some gems out of it, how they felt about it. It just meant so much to me to hear so many of you connect with my story, essentially, of how I came from New Jersey to South Korea, and that just means so much to me. If you haven't, please go back and listen to my very first episode. It really took a lot for me to even put out this first episode, let alone this podcast. So I would really appreciate everyone, if you're listening, check out the first episode titled Delayed But Not Denied. But we are here with episode number 2. So I'm excited just to have you guys listening. But of course, thank you to all of my listeners. Kansamida, nomo kansamida, merci beaucoup. Yes, I'm going to hit you with all the languages. So thank you so much that we not only have put out episode 1, but we are now at episode 2. So I'm excited to get into today's episode. So just with these two couple of episodes, I just kind of want to build a foundation and introduce you guys to who I am. Because as I said in the first episode, these episodes are going to be about me and sort of like my personal journal, but also kind of an introduction and laying, we can call it a cake. Let's call it a cake. So we're going to create the layers. You got to have like your base, right? You got to have your bottom base. And then we're going to add all the special flavors and the icings to it. But first, we got to have our ingredients. We got to lay out the ingredients first. So that's what we're doing. So today's episode is going to be a little bit more into who I am. We're actually going to talk about dating. And it's funny enough, today is Valentine's Day. So happy Valentine's Day to all the lovers out there. This episode would obviously be after Valentine's Day, but still, we are celebrating Black History Month, so we gotta celebrate the month of love. So happy Valentine's Day, whether you are single, in a relationship, married, engaged, or in between, does not matter. Happy Valentine's Day to all of you. So today's episode is going to be about dating, but not just dating, but dating when you grown. I'm talking about grown. And when I say grown, I mean like, we're going to say mid-20s and up. Now, I'm not saying you can't be grown lower than that, but I'm grown. So I'm talking about people who are in my age bracket, age range. So we're talking about people who are grown. And just how, now that I'm trying to attempt to date, keyword is attempt, I'm really just taking a step back and not only analyzing myself, but just analyzing the dating scene, because I realize I don't know how to date, if I'm being completely honest. I don't know how to date in this time frame, and I'm just going to kind of explain why I say that, because I think if I explain my story a little bit better, you'll understand why I say I don't know how to date. And why dating when you grown is not fun at all. It's not easy. And my favorite thing to say is it's ghetto. Okay? So we're going to definitely talk a little bit more about that in today's episode. But before we do, of course, if you haven't already, please follow me on all social media platforms. That's Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. I am Shameless Listo on all platforms. That is Shameless Listo. Again, Shameless Listo on all social media platforms. If you listen to today's episode, please reach out to me and let me know. I'd love to chat with you. I'd love to hear what you thought about today's episode. No matter your relationship status, tell me what your dating experience has been. Is it the same as mine? Is it completely different? Or whatever the case may be, I'd love to have some dialogue with you and find out what you thought about today's episode. Okay? So let's get into it. So, some more background about me. I kind of touched on it on the first episode, but I am Haitian American. So what that means is my parents were born in Haiti and they traveled to America and I was born in the US. So I already grew up in a Caribbean household, so there's already a certain perspective and dynamic when it comes to dating for that. But not only that, I grew up in a very strict Christian household. And to add another layer to that, I am a pastor's kid. Insert all of the pastor's kid stereotypes. I know there's a lot out there. There's nothing I can do about that. There's nothing I could say about those. But yes, I am not only from a Christian household, I'm Caribbean, but I'm also a pastor's kid. And so all of these things play a factor and a role when it comes to me interacting with the opposite sex. And of course, when it came to my dating life, which, spoiler alert, was non-existent, okay? We're just gonna go ahead and put that out there right now. It was non-existent. And so for me, growing up in a Haitian household, a strict Christian Haitian household, I grew up with what we call the three L's. Those three L's, you ask, were l'école, la caille, and l'église. Oh, y'all didn't think I was going to be teaching y'all Creole on this podcast? Well, guess what? Here we go. Again, those three L's, l'école, la caille, and l'église. In English, that translates to school, house, and church. And those are the three places my behind needed to be. If it's not those three, I don't need to be there. So there was no school dances. There was no, oh, my friend's having a party at their house, you should come over. None of that. I didn't even do sleepovers. What are sleepovers? My parents would infamously say,
Upagenkai, which means you don't have no house.
Why are you doing sleepovers? My parents didn't do sleepovers. My parents didn't do house parties or any parties. None of that. If it wasn't l'école, la caille, or l'église, I wasn't going, okay? Now I'm gonna break down each one of those, but that's basically the general idea of any Caribbean kid, honestly. But I'm coming from a Haitian American kid's perspective. So first we have l'école, which is, again, school, or if I have any Korean listeners, that is hakyo. So basically school was all about my books. That's pretty much really all it was. My parents didn't send me to school to make friends. I definitely wasn't in school to be dating or looking at no boys. My parents would infamously say,
"Nous pas voyons l'école pour faire amis," which basically means
we didn't send you to school to be making friends. That's not what school's for. You're only in school to focus on your education, hit them books.
It be that set.
Nothing else. I barely did any like school activities because, again, that's not really a thing. That wasn't really a thing for my household anyway. I remember in high school, I had to basically beg my parents to let me be in the school play during like my later half of high school because I was really into dance. And so I ended up doing like school plays and school musicals during like my freshman and sophomore year. And then my junior and senior year, I joined a dance class and they put like different show productions. So, but I had to basically like really petition my parents to let me do that because, again, that's not what they sent me to school for. They sent me to school to focus on my education. Anything beyond that is basically seen as a distraction. So school is basically all about hitting them books, and you better bring home an A. B, maybe, but really B's aren't even acceptable. You better bring home an A. That's basically how it's seen. And I know like that's usually the same thing with like Jamaicans and Africans. So anyone who falls in the same mind, you understand what I'm talking about. So that's basically l'école. Second, you have la caille. La caille is house, or again for my Koreans, is cheap. So at home, it's basically a continuation of school. You better be doing your homework. There's no reason why you're not on top of your homework. If you're not doing homework, you better be doing house chores. So you better be helping with the cooking, you better be cleaning, doing laundry, whatever. But ain't no going in and out of this house. Ain't no, oh mom, can I go to my friend's house and...
Which the response was always, upage kai?
We don't do sleepovers, like I said. That wasn't a thing. And for me, usually after school, I was queen of naps. I was queen of the naps. I realize now that as an adult, I have a social battery that once I'm around too many people, I need to relax. I need to basically recharge. I didn't realize that as a kid. So my friends used to always get mad because they would come to the house, knock on the door. Hey, can Kathleen come outside and play? And my mom would be like, oh no, she's sleeping. She's taking a nap. And my friends used to be so angry. They'd be like, we came by your house and asked if you could play, but your mom said you were taking a nap. And I was like, yeah, I was. And I wasn't the type to take no 30-minute nap, an hour nap, those power naps that people be taking. I can't do it. If I get a power nap, I get a headache. I can't do it. I would be taking legit 2-hour naps because I needed to recharge. School was draining. Like, you're doing a lot at school, okay? So school used to drain me, so I would go home, take a nap, and then wake up, eat my dinner, do my homework. And I had a bedtime. That was a whole nother situation. My parents did not play. I couldn't be up late. All my friends would be like, oh, did you see the new show? If it came on past like 9 o'clock, 9 times out of 10, I didn't see it because my parents didn't play. I had to be in bed by a certain time. And I think it was like 8 p.m. I think I had to be in bed by 8. So all the good shows came on after 8. My parents did not play. It's a school night. You need to be in bed by 8. I grew up in a very strict household. My parents was very serious about my education, very serious about me going to school. So there was no, oh, can I stay up late and watch this TV show? No. So I just remember next day, all my friends would be like, oh, we watched this show. Like, I remember, I think it was Buffy at the time. Like, Buffy was like a really popular show at one point, I think like middle school. And all my friends would be talking about the latest episode. I couldn't join in the conversation because, child, I think Buffy came on like 9 o'clock. I'm dating myself talking about Buffy. But I just remember I was like, child, I couldn't watch that because it came on late. I would have to watch like the reruns the next day or whenever it was like during daytime hours. But anyways, I digress. Basically, I was at home all the time. There was no going out and about. And even if I wanted to hang out with my friends, I had to clean the house first. I'll never forget, like on Saturdays was usually like cleaning day. And my friends would try to come over and be like, hey, can Kathleen come over? And my mom would be like, she has to clean the house. And my friends would be like, well, if we help her clean, can she come out? And my mom was like, okay. And my friends would help me clean the house so I would finish faster so I could go out and play. Yo, shout out to them. They were the real ones. Because I'll never forget, they legit helped me clean the house. There were multiple Saturdays. They helped me clean the house a lot faster just so I could go out and hang out with them. Because my mom didn't play about that at all. Like I said, friends, I had friends, but I have responsibilities and those always came first. It didn't matter.
So yeah, I either spent my Saturdays cleaning before I could hang out with my friends, or let's say like my friends wanted to go to the movies or we wanted to hang out with the mall. The thing is, I couldn't just be like, oh, let's say it was Thursday and my friends were like, oh, you want to go to the movies tomorrow or you want to go to the mall tomorrow? No. Especially my dad didn't play that. We had a 7 to 10 business day, or on a really good week, 5 to 7 business day rule. I couldn't just show up to my dad and be like, hey, dad, can I go to the movies tomorrow? It was automatic no. It was an automatic no. I would have to come to my parents on a Monday and be like, dad, can I go to the movies this Saturday? And I would have to tell him who I was going with, the time I was going, who was taking me, who was picking me up, who was going to be there, the whole details. And then basically he would think about it. And then I would have to come back to him if we were going on a Friday, come back to him on a Thursday, or a Friday if it was on a Saturday, and get an answer. Nine times out of 10, the answer was no, but I had to indulge because ever so often I got a yes. But child, I couldn't be those people who'd be like, oh, let me ask my dad if I can go to the movies Saturday and it was already Thursday or Friday night. It did not work like that in my household. So yeah, I also had the 5 to 7 or 7 to 10 business day rule in my house where I could not be asking to go somewhere at the last minute. My parents did not play about that.
But anyways, so that's, you know, Lakai. And then last, but definitely not least, is L'Église. L'Église is church. And in Korean, I believe it's kyohe. If I'm saying that wrong, I apologize. But church, I already told y'all, I was a pastor's kid. I was in church all the time. And when I say all the time, I say all the time. Wednesday night was Bible study. Thursday night, we had some sort of service. Friday night was Friday night service. Sunday, we were in church all day. You had Sunday morning worship. After Sunday morning service, we had choir rehearsal. And then there was Sunday night service. So I remember being in church literally all day. And then Lord, don't let it be an anniversary week, or what we say in Creole is réunion or réveil, which is basically like church festival or anniversary week. You're in church every single night, Monday through Sunday. The only day you would have off, I believe, is like Saturday. Saturday is the only night you have off. So literally, you'd be in church every single night. So I would have school during the day, then I'd go home and try to do my homework. I basically would have to do my homework from the time I came home. And then I'd have to get ready to go to church at 7. And I'd be at church till like 9:30, 10. And then I'd have to go home, take a shower, and then go to bed. And do it all over again for the entire week. And then, you know, Christmas I was in church. New Year's Eve I was in church. Like, my whole life was about being in church. So, with those three L's, you tell me, when did I have time to date? Don't worry, I'll wait. None. I had no time to date. And it's not to say that, especially like once I was in like high school, there wasn't boys that, you know, caught my attention or that I was looking at. But my parents had made it clear that I wasn't allowed to date until after college. Like, that was the rule that was set in my house, was that I was not allowed to date until after college. Not during college, not after high school graduation. I was not allowed to date until after college. So, for as long as I remember, my priority has always been chasing the bag and, you know, education. That's always just been where my mind is at. Like, again, I'm not saying that there wasn't boys in middle school or high school that didn't catch my attention, that I didn't flirt with, that I didn't entertain, or that I didn't, you know, sneak around, because that's pretty much what like all kids would do. But as far as like try to seriously date, nah, that wasn't even a thing, like at all. Like, I mean, I have like, I have countless examples of times like my friends would be like, oh, there's a school dance, are you coming? I'm like, school dance? Child, do you know my parents? I'm trying to live a long life, and that's not gonna happen if I go to a school dance. That's not gonna happen. I remember I had to beg to go to prom. Like, that's how serious my parents were. I had to beg to go to prom, because prom? Why? Why are you going to prom? Like, I mean, luckily for me, I was able to go to 2 proms because I ended up going to 2 high schools. But again, I had to fight tooth and nail to go to prom because my parents just didn't see the necessity behind going to prom. They didn't see like why that was part of the high school experience. They didn't see the point of it. So I really had to, but like homecoming, no. What is it like? I know there's other dances like junior proms and things like that. I didn't get to go to any of those. Like, it just wasn't a part of my experience. I mean, I know there was a few dances that I quote unquote didn't tell my parents about. You know, there were some dances and stuff like that that I told my parents, oh, I'm going to the library, and I ended up going. But other than that, like, I didn't really, for the most part, I just didn't go. because I was just like, I don't feel like bothering with the whole sneaking out and this, that, and the third. But yeah, for the most part, trying to have that middle school or high school experience, I didn't have any of that. So I consider myself pretty much a late bloomer because I just didn't have those social interactions with the opposite sex. Because for me, my whole childhood was focusing on education and taking care of my family and things like that. Your girl was, in a nutshell, locked up. I'm locked up, they won't let me out. Like, that was literally my entire experience growing up. So hearing that I'm not allowed to date until after college, once I got into college and I ended up moving away, of course, like, I'm no longer in lockdown. And so I'm like, okay, maybe this is a time to be able to explore dating and really being able to interact with, not saying like interact, like I never talked to a boy or never saw a boy, but I just didn't have that type of interaction as far as like, oh, this guy likes me, let me explore it type of thing. I never had that type of experience growing up. So I just was completely oblivious. So in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, college, I'll be able to basically explore it, if you can say that. But college isn't exactly the best time to explore that, in my opinion, because for me, I feel like a lot of, how can I put this, some things are misconstrued. Because, you know, a guy being nice to you, you might think like, oh, he's just being nice, whereas a guy may be specifically flirting with you and you just completely are oblivious to a guy flirting with you. And that's what happened to me a lot, is that I couldn't tell the difference between when a guy liked me and when a guy was just being nice. And not only that, I had a lot of childhood incidents where, like, guys were a little bit too friendly with me. So I think the two paired together was very difficult, because I had instances where, you know, guys stalked me because they were obsessed with me. So having, you know, that type of inappropriate behavior, and in their mind, they're like, oh, I just really, really like you. So not knowing what's considered healthy boundaries and unhealthy boundaries, and in essence, having to learn all of that on my own, because my parents didn't really talk to me about dating or relationships. I, in essence, had to figure it out on my own, or look at movies or watch my friends and kind of figure out the whole dating on my own, that I really didn't know what's considered appropriate and what's considered not appropriate when it comes to interacting with a man and a woman. Obviously, there's certain things that's like, okay, that's wrong and that's not, you know, that's right. But like I said, somebody could be flirting with me out right in my face, and I would be like, oh, he's just being nice. And everybody around me is like, girl, he likes you. And I'm like, no, he doesn't. He's just being nice. And everybody's looking at me like, girl. So that's what I mean. So in college for me, like, I just ended up having a lot of interactions with guys where, for me, I just ended up putting them in, like, the brother category, if I could say that, you know? Oh, like, he's just my big brother. And, like, I was heavy on that. Like, oh, he's just my big brother. Or I would try to explore, like, oh, maybe he likes me, only for them to be like, oh, I don't see you that way. And I'm like, oh, dang. Like, okay, I misread that situation, because I thought, oh, we hang out all the time, or we talk all the time, or we're comfortable around each other, that maybe you liked me. Only to find out, like, oh, that's not the case at all. Like, they just saw me as somebody that was real chill and real cool. And because I had a tomboy phase, I realized that a lot of guys just saw me as, like, one of the guys. So that also kind of misconstrued a lot of the signals between the two of us. So again, I just never really learned the proper way that a man and a woman should interact in order to figure out, like, oh, this guy likes me, or I think we're just friends type of situation. Like, I just never learned, in the sense, like, I never learned how to properly date. I never learned how to properly interact in relationships in proper settings, like social settings, even supervised. Because I kind of think about that now. I understand why my parents were pretty strict and why they kept me on lockdown, because they didn't want me to get distracted by boys and, you know, be like a teenage mom, basically, or have any teenage pregnancies. I understand all of that. But I also feel like there could have been a balance, even if I wasn't allowed to date till I was like 16 or 18, I feel like supervised dates could have been a thing where there's some sort of like compromise, meet in the middle. So I don't know. That's kind of like looking back, hindsight's 2020 is how they say, but I just feel like now that I'm a little bit older and now that social media and dating apps are a big thing, it makes it a lot harder for me to be able to really date in today's day and age, so to speak. So that's like where I'm like, now that I'm basically grown, how do I navigate and date in today's society when that's kind of like the background that I came from? Because I was so focused on education and so focused on chasing the bag. And I'm not saying that's bad in any way, shape, or form. Like, I definitely feel like you should focus on self and you should definitely focus on getting your education and all of those things. All of those things are good, but I feel like there should be a balance between the two of wanting to get your education, but also learning how to open yourself up to wanting a partner. If that's something that you want, there are some people who absolutely do not care or want a partner in life, and that's cool. But for me, I've always wanted a partner and someone to do life with. And I think like once I got to college and trying to figure out the dating process, I realized like, okay, college wasn't an easy idea of trying to date because again, I was still focused on school. And most of the guys that I came across and interacted with, I realized it just wasn't even their type in sense of like either they had a preference or whatever the situation may be, it just didn't work out. And then by the time I graduated college, when I was quote unquote allowed to date, the expectation was I was supposed to bring a husband home. Like, oh, when are you going to get married? When is your husband? It's like, child, what? Like, literally, it was the idea that I was supposed to walk across the graduation platform or the university platform, get a diploma in hand, and an engagement ring as well. And it's just like, that's not how it works. That's not how none of it works. I never learned how to date, and yet somehow I'm supposed to present a husband? Please, tell me how that works. And I know for some people, like, they have, like, their high school sweethearts, or they magically met their husband or wife to be at the college library, or they shared the same class, but I didn't get that type of story. And I'm okay with not getting that story, but I just think it's unrealistic that I was supposed to walk across that stage with a diploma and a husband simultaneously, because literally, like, that's the song that I'm getting now that I'm, you know, in my mid-30s and being asked, like, oh, where's your husband? Where's your husband? Like, I never learned how to date. I never learned how to navigate and properly just figure any of this out. And obviously there's no class on how to date. There's no school on dating or anything like that. But I feel like there's ways to be able to interact with people of the opposite sex to at least know, okay, this is what I want out of a guy or girl. This is what I don't want. This is what my boundaries are. This is, you know, what I'll tolerate, what I won't tolerate. And I think you learn those things when you interact with people of the opposite sex, whether that's in friendships or, you know, relationships. I feel like you learn those things when you interact with people. And for me, I didn't really get those opportunities. I kind of learned those things the hard way on what I'll tolerate and what I won't tolerate through, I'll dub them situationships. That's how I learned them, because they never developed into relationships. They ended up just being situationships because of, you know, the mistreatment that I ended up having or whatever, however you can label them. But it's honestly because of the fact that I never really understood the whole concept of dating. And especially, like, again, from a Christian perspective, you don't really learn how to date either. In a church perspective, everybody just kind of talks about marriage. They talk about, you know, marriage, and, you know, waiting on God to send you your husband, but nobody really talks about the actual dating process. Nobody talks about the dating stage. And I know some churches are like, oh, it's not dating, it's courting. Semantics, whatever. But I just feel like no one really talks about, you know, dating. Most of the sermons you hear has to do with marriage. Most of the conferences you hear are about marriage. Yes, you have singles conferences, but who shows up the most? Women. Women don't show up to the conferences. Yes, they want to show up and hear, but they're also hoping there'll be single men there so that they can somehow mingle and connect with one another. But when it's singles women that show up, it's kind of just like, okay, this isn't going to help me. So, and again, it's not even when you go to these conferences, they're not giving you real life application that you can take home. They're not giving you anything. Like, yes, they'll tell you, oh, pray, you know, God will send you your husband and hold on and do this and that. It's like, okay, I know all that, but you're not giving me anything that I can use to take home and apply. So it just gets really frustrating when you're older and you're trying to date and most people look at you like, oh, what's wrong with you? Like, why are you still single and things like that? Me, you know, I don't necessarily, I've kind of come to grips with me being single. Because I'm not saying like, oh, I don't need no man. I don't want no man. No, I'm not trying to be Miss Independent. Like if a man want to come in and take some of this load off my back, by all means. But don't come in here fixing your lips talking about what I bring to the table. Because that's where you can exit stage left. But I'm not one of those women that I used to be. Like, oh, I'm independent. I can do this on my own. I don't need no man. And I realize that's a trauma response. And that just comes out of hyper-independence. And I don't want to carry that load no more. I really don't. But now that I'm just older, like I said, I'm just trying to figure it all out. Like, I've done the dating apps, and I realize I hate them. I hate the dating apps. They're not fun. I don't enjoy them. Because you can literally put whatever it is you want on there and make yourself sound appealing. Like, look at Netflix right now talking about the Tinder swindler. Like, you could literally pretend to be who you want to be. I mean, it could never be me, child. You ain't about to swindle me out of $50,000. I mean, I'm not one to judge, but child. But the fact of the matter is, I don't like online dating for that specific reason. I like the idea of meeting somebody face to face and getting to know them and learning about them. But when you're trying to date in 2022 in the middle of a panoramic, and not only that, I'm currently in a whole nother country that I gotta learn a whole nother language, that's multiple layers and multiple things hitting me all at once. And so it's a completely different learning curve that I am trying to basically navigate and bob and weave through. Because I don't know what I'm doing, honestly. I really don't. And I don't know, maybe one of my listeners, they can give me some advice on how to navigate through this. Or maybe y'all resonate with me and y'all are like me and don't know what y'all are doing. I mean, don't get me wrong. I may be ranting about this, but at the end of the day, I trust God. Again, I'm a Christian and I'm going to always reference him in this, but at the end of the day, I trust God. I know that he's going to work this out in my favor. And when the time comes, I will meet my significant other at the appointed time I'm supposed to. It's just that I think it's just a little difficult for me because, you know, everybody says like, oh, you got to place yourself, you know, in a mess of other people, you got to go out, you got to do this, you got to do that. But it's like, oh, or the expression is you got to place yourself somewhere to be found. Because, you know, the scripture says he that finds a wife finds a good thing. You got to place yourself to be found. It's like, where are you supposed to be found in 2022 in the middle of a panini? Like, where are you supposed to be found in the middle of a panini? Like, that's the question I want to know. How am I supposed to be found in the middle of a panini? And using the dating apps here in Korea, child, I'm gonna make this a two-part series. I'm gonna have to talk about that in the next episode because I started using the dating apps here in Korea and deep sigh. Baby, ghetto does not cover in its totality the chaos that dating over here is. I'm just going to briefly say, Korea has two styles of dating. They have one that's called sogeting, which is basically like blind dating. You have, I know a guy or a girl, and you know somebody and you're like, oh, I think you'd be really great with this person. I want to set you guys up. Like, arranged dating, essentially, is what it is. I want to hook you guys up on a date. I know a guy, you know somebody, we set y'all up. Y'all go on a date. And after, I think it's like 3 dates, you basically decide whether you want to continue the date or not. Here in Korea, they basically decide if they're going to be boyfriend and girlfriend after the 3rd date or not. I have my thoughts about that, but I'm going to save that for later. So that's basically the primary way most people end up in relationships here, or people date here. And then you have the dating apps. Dating apps here are still relatively new to Korea. So Korea does not look at them the same way that we look at them. And therefore, the dumpster fire that is on these apps is... I have no words. So I'm going to talk about that in my next episode, because I was on the dating app for, I want to say, 8 months, 9 months. I was on them for a while. And then I was like, yeah, no, I got to go. I'm going to exit stage left because it's a mess. It's a whole mess. Burn the whole thing down. But yeah, so in conclusion, I'm going to just wrap it up and say that now that I'm a little bit older, I'm just deciding that because I haven't really learned how to date throughout my, you know, through most of my life, I'm learning how to just date myself. That's basically what I'm learning to do, is instead of waiting for the man God has for me, the person that God has for me, I'm learning to just take myself out on dates, you know, instead of saying like, oh, I really want to go to this museum, with my future significant other, I take myself to that museum. Instead of saying like, oh, one day I really want to do a sip and paint with my partner or zip lining or whatever it is, I've just decided to do solo dates. I know dating obviously is a lot deeper than just doing, you know, going out places, but I realize that in the meantime, between time, while I wait, is that I'm going to date myself. Because I could sit here and wallow and be like, oh my God, I've never been on a date and, you know, I don't know what dating is. I could do that. I could. Because that's easy, right? That's real easy. But I've learned and decided, especially last year, that I'm going to romanticize my life. I'm going to romanticize my life and start treating myself the way I would want whoever comes into my life to treat me. So I buy myself flowers, I cook myself really nice dinners, or I treat myself to fancy dinners. I spoil myself rotten, and I set the standard high so that whoever comes into my life knows that they gotta match it or go above and beyond. That's basically what I've done for myself. So I may not have had the interactions, and I may be really bad. And unfortunately, that's kind of the scary part, is that I've been single for so long, I'm afraid of what's going to happen when somebody does come into my life, because it's going to have to be a major adjustment for me to allow someone to come in. But I believe that for the right person, it won't be easy, but it'll be easier for me to kind of, okay, You match my energy, you match my vibes, you match my goals and my vision. We're on the same path. It'll be easier for me to make room for you in my life, and you make room for me in yours. That it won't feel like an inconvenience. It won't feel like I have to turn my life upside down to allow you into mine. So for now, your girl takes herself out on dates. That's what I do for now. Instead of, like I said, I could sit here and whine and wallow. But I'm not going to do that. I'm going to romanticize my life and enjoy it until that special someone comes into my life and matches energy. So thank you for joining me on the second episode of Sorting Soapbox. Again, if you enjoyed today's episode, please, please, please follow me on all social media platforms. That would be Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. I am Shameless Listo on all of those platforms. That is S-H-A-M-E-L-E-S-S. LISZTO. I would love to hear your thoughts on today's episode. Tell me, what are your thoughts about dating? Especially in 2022, in the middle of a polygraphy. What are your thoughts? Are you dating right now? Are you using dating apps? What are your experiences with dating apps? Do you have any advice for me? I am definitely open to advice. I am not one to shy away from advice. Leave your comments, rate this episode on whatever platform you're listening to it on, whether it be Apple, Amazon, Spotify. I know there's some problems, but please. Or Google. Please make sure to rate and leave reviews. I would greatly, greatly appreciate it. Thank you again for listening to today's episode. And until then, your girl is off her soapbox.